You're listening to That's Life here at the Nahum Segal Network. And the inspiration for today's interview actually came from an email that I received from Hafter. As you know, I am a Hafter parent. I'm also a member of the Young Israel of Woodmere. And this upcoming Tuesday night, October 30th at 8 p.m. at the Young Israel of Woodmere, there will be a the beginning, I should say, or the groundbreaking evening of a Long Island initiative of Sacred Spaces. Sacred Spaces is an incredible organization that I did not know enough about. I certainly had heard about a number of different times, through the work that we do here at the Nahum Segal Network. And it is certainly something and a topic that we should be discussing more and that we should make all of our number one priorities. Sacred Spaces mission is a cross-denominational initiative, and its goal is to address abuses of power in Jewish institutions. And Dr. Shira Berkowitz is the founder and CEO of Sacred Spaces. She trains, investigates, and reviews policies for Jewish organizations around the world. She sits on the board of numerous anti-abuse organizations, including the Academy on Violence and Abuse, Male Survivor, and Kol Va'oz. And her writing is regularly cited as groundbreaking material in the field of abuse prevention. She will be there Tuesday night at the Young Israel of Woodmere, 859 Peninsula Boulevard at 8 p.m. And she joins us here this morning. Good morning, Dr. Berkowitz.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you for being here. And on behalf of parents everywhere, thank you for this initiative. I know you're the founder and CEO. I wonder if you'll take a moment to just explain how Sacred Spaces is different from other child abuse prevention organizations.
So Sacred Spaces works to prevent and respond to institutional abuses of power of all kinds. So that could be against children, it could be against adults, it could be against the elderly. The initiative that we're launching and that we'll be talking about in Long Island will be a child safeguarding campaign, but Sacred Spaces is about any abuse of power. I'd say over 90% of what comes across our desk is sexual in nature. But it doesn't need to be. It could be emotional or other.
Got it. Okay, so then let's take a step back, because when you say abuse of power, you know, there are plenty of us who think of abuse of power as someone who, let's say, takes a bribe, is a political official, is someone who uses his or her top position for some kind of financial gain. But here, that's not what abuse of power is. It's any abuse of power that is used towards someone who is of lower stature.
Right. Sometimes we do see financial abuses of power or any other abuse of power, and that's why we use this very broad term.
Right.
And so, you might see an early warning sign being somebody who's violating boundaries or abusing their power in a lot of different ways. And it's not always clearly sexual or physical. But if we miss those early warning signs, then we are most likely going to miss whatever else is happening that we can't see. And so we want to be asking questions about what do role models look like in our community? Who do we want in positions of leadership? And not just focused on what's the very worst thing that we don't want to see.
Mm.
And so that's what we're working to do, is to help institutions put systems in place of healthy governance, accountability, so that this is about building healthy Jewish organizations. And through that work, we prevent the sort of abuses of power that unfortunately, we see all too often.
And I notice on the flyer for the upcoming event Tuesday night at the Young Israel Woodmere starting at 8 p.m. that it says, we encourage all educators, social workers, youth group leaders, rabbis, nursery teachers, yeshiva staff, and all concerned community members to attend. I thought in particular that the mention of youth group leaders was so forward thinking. You know, we entrust teens with taking care of younger children. And the same thing is true with camp counselors, whether it's sleepaway or day camp. And all too often, this kind of sensitivity training, or I should say awareness training, is not done for across all broad spectrums the way this is.
Right. And we know that approximately one-third of sexual abuse that's perpetrated against children is perpetrated by other children. And so it's particularly when we have children in positions of power over other children that we need to understand that that is also a leadership opportunity, and they need, in those cases, they need information about how to protect themselves from other people, how to be role models, and how to be on the lookout so that their peers or they themselves don't cross lines and harm a child.
Is there, I was going to go forward with that to talk about possibly making ourselves either too sensitive or either I'm going to even use the word paranoid, but before I even go there, I just want to discuss the importance of sacred spaces being cross-denominational. Talk about that for a second, if you will.
Yeah, that was a very intentional decision. This is not an Orthodox problem. This is not even a Jewish problem. This is a human problem. And I think too often this has been portrayed as an Orthodox problem and or a Haredi problem. And you see media coverage focusing on these communities. And that's maybe because it's more sensational, maybe because it's more jarring and you expect more of somebody who looks like they should be more pious. And so, okay, it happens for whatever reason, but it's not consistent with the reality, which is that these issues impact every single community. And so this is about partnering with institutions and with communities. And when we began this, people said to us things like, oh, the Orthodox community is never going to be receptive to this. And in fact, we found that to be completely inaccurate. That in fact, in many ways, the Orthodox community was more forward thinking, had been dealing with these issues for many years. The rabbis have been saying, look, we this is real and we need to deal with this. And there were more organizations, anti-abuse organizations, thinking about this in the Orthodox community. Now it's a different world. And I really think everybody's starting to think about this. And that's how it should be. And in fact, when we speak to the heads of different denominations and to Rabbanim, people are excited about the idea that it's cross-denominational and want to partner together. And we very much believe that this can be something that instead of splitting communities apart, can be something that creates achdus and brings the entire Jewish community together.
Well, we've certainly seen across many religions and many faiths, numerous just overriding stories and horrible stories and horrible accounts of abuse. I mean, we don't have to look too far, not just within our community, but obviously the allegations and the revelations coming out of, you know, various dioceses across the United States, and knowledge that people had above those in charge, those, you know, leaders, those communal leaders, of their abuses to children and to others that have been going on for decades. I mean, we have to understand that this is, as you said before, this is not just a Jewish problem, and it's not just an Orthodox problem. It's a human problem.
Right. And in fact, before I founded Sacred Spaces, I spent a year working with Christian colleagues, moved in to two different Christian communities, and studied and learned from things that had happened there and the expertise and reforms that they had instituted. And after learning a lot about that, I thought, okay, let's go back to the Jewish community now and take some of what I've learned, and can we put this together in a systemic way?
And was there at any point a shocking moment when you approached somebody in the Christian community and you said, I'm an Orthodox Jew, we have this problem too?
No, I think there was more a sense of relief that people felt like the same feeling, right? This is a human problem. And wait, you're dealing with some of the same issues and you're dealing with some of the same resistance and there are some of the same cover-ups going on. How can we learn from each other? How can we work together? And I think from the people in the field who are doing this work, it's a sense of not feeling alone. And that feels really good. I think the one time I was shocked was when I was in Thailand doing some work on sex trafficking, and I was outside a monastery, and I was speaking to a Buddhist monk. And I think there I had a surprise when I was talking to him about this work. And he said, well, yeah, of course, we have the same exact problem.
Wow.
And it was just like, it was just jarring, I guess.
No, I completely hear that. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. Dr. Shira Berkovitz joins us. She is the founder and CEO of Sacred Spaces, a cross-denominational initiative to address institutional abuse in Jewish communities. There is an event going on this Tuesday night, October 30th at 8 p.m. at the Young Israel of Woodmere, in which educators, social workers, youth group leaders, rabbis, nursery school teachers, yeshiva staff, and concerned community members are all invited to attend. You can hear about how we can help safeguard our children and hear about the Safeguarding Children campaign. It is the first open source online platform for Jewish youth serving organizations partnering together to prevent child maltreatment. This is all very 2020. And I don't mean as in hindsight, I mean as in year. You know, it's not a 2018 concept that we have to work together as across the board and accredit different schools and different programs and saying we have treated and trained our staff to become aware of this. This is very forward thinking. How did you decide that we had to all take a step back and everyone had to take this kind of approach in order to safeguard our kids?
Well, you know, a lot of this is in thanks to Adina Friedman at the UJA. The UJA is funding this campaign, and we've been working together for years to come up with this idea. And she kept saying to me, you know, Shira, we have 600 synagogues alone just in this New York area. What about the schools? What about the camps? And what about beyond this small area? How are you going to reach the broader Jewish world? How can you scale this up? And really, everything that's out there right now, if you wanted to do policy development, if you wanted to do intensive training, it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars each year to do this work well. And that's not manageable for many institutions. And so we started to think about how can we bring together experts from around the Jewish and secular worlds to develop resources that will be tailored to the Jewish community and that will be widely available to everyone in a do-it-yourself manner. And so that's what we were thinking. And nothing like this exists, not in the secular world or the Jewish world, where you can just access these resources. And it's interesting that you say this is a 2020 thing, because actually, yes, it is a forward thing, because we're not asking every institution to do this all at once. We're going to be asking institutions to do two best practices a year for 5 years, with the idea being that this real sustainable change takes time, and it's not an all or nothing thing. And we understand that institutions have other things going on. So here are tools. Let's get started. Let's do this together. And in 5 years, we're going to turn around and we're going to look at a Jewish community that has new standards, where parents know exactly what to expect and what to demand when they send their kids to school, and where institutional heads are prepared and ready to meet those demands.
Wow. So let's talk about that accreditation program, because I think that is, you know, it's such a brilliant idea that when a parent is looking at a new school, there is this gold seal. And I'm using this term, you know, not to date myself, but it's a very powerful good housekeeping seal of approval kind of idea, that we know as a potential parent that you as a staff and faculty and administration have gone through this kind of training. It has to be a huge sense of relief. So what does this accreditation program, besides the two initiatives a year for 5 years, what does this look like?
So if somebody were to join this campaign, at the end of it, and they do this well, we'd say that, first of all, everybody will get a certificate of completion and there will be an award ceremony. So a lot of positive reinforcement for participating. And at the end of that, or if they go faster and are ready sooner, they would be accreditation eligible. So it's not an automatic guarantee, because we can't possibly say we're going to accredit thousands of institutions that use the web platform. We need to have more contact with an institution before providing accreditation. So I'll say that the accreditation is still in formation. It's in the early stages. It's an idea. We hope that within a couple of years, you can expect to see this as a standard thing across institutions. And what that would mean would be that we'd be expecting any institution that's accredited to have done the work of having a standing safety committee in their institution that's always there, not a one-time initiative, but that's there to focus on prevention every year as well as response, and that they are trained. We'd expect to see robust policies that guide every single daily interaction and operation of the organization. So they're not just, here's what abuse is, don't do it, and if somebody does it, report it, but they're much more extensive and preventative. And we'd expect training for everybody in the institution. And finally, we'd expect that there would be some sort of regular evaluation so that these policies are not documents that sit on the shelf, but living, breathing documents, and that the culture of the institution is a child-centered, child-focused culture that is always thinking about safety for children. And an institution that does those things can then, of course, become accredited. And the idea would be that, as you're saying, this good housekeeping seal, people would look for it, or like a Hechscher, right?
Right.
People would look for it, and they can then know this is an institution that has done their due diligence. Now, of course, the seal doesn't mean that abuse or maltreatment can never happen in this institution, but what it does mean is that they've put systems in place so that should that ever happen, they are prepared, and that these systems are public, so that the community can look at these policies, which are not the best kept secret, but are on the website. And if something happens, they can demand accountability to those policies. And if, God forbid, an institution didn't follow that, their own policies that they set, somebody could have a place to call now and could say to us, you're accrediting this institution, at which point we'd pick up a phone and say, hey, sounds like you have a problem. Mm. We're here to help you. Wow. Let's work on this together.
The event is this Tuesday night at October 30th at the Youngest Roll Woodmere, 859 Peninsula Boulevard, Woodmere, New York. It starts at 8 p.m. Dr. Berkovitz, I have to thank you, first of all, on behalf of parents and the Jewish community for spearheading this initiative. I also want to thank you as a member of the Young Israel Woodmere community for bringing this to our community and having this Long Island initiative. I also just want to make mention that I think the logo for Sacred Spaces is brilliant. And as a person, and for those of you who go on their website, you can go to jewishsacredspaces.org, and you will see their logo. And there is something very warm and holistic and protective about the logo for Sacred Spaces that I think speaks to the major mission of the organization, but even more so because there is a mezuzah, a very visible mezuzah within that logo. And as a person who likes details like this and appreciates the headaches that go into finalizing details on a project, I just want you to know that I really appreciate this, and I think it speaks volumes.
Well, that makes me very happy to hear, and I'll give a shout out to Talia Hardstark, who is our intern, who ran a logo contest and spent, as you're saying, many, many months working on that logo. And the mezuzah was a detail that was very important to us. So thanks for noticing it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Anyway, Dr. Berkovitz, thank you so much. Again, you can go to jewishsacredspaces.org for more information. You can also email Danielle@jewishsacredspaces.org to become involved or to host an event for Sacred Spaces. Continued hatzlacha to you, Dr. Berkovitz, and good luck Tuesday night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You've been listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. I can't say enough about this organization. I can't encourage more people than I already am to be able to be there Tuesday night. It is imperative. And if that means you have to drive 15 minutes to get to the Young Israel Woodmere, drive 15 minutes. It is worth it to protect all of our children.